The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 31st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, a U.S. delegation is in China in hopes of dispelling unease about the safety of that nation's food and drug exports. A South Korean FTA, that's a free trade agreement, is in the works, and it could be hard on Detroit. And ADM has released its fourth quarter profits. The numbers are good. Very, 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 very good. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear our weekly update of the crop progress in the five top producing corn states of the nation in order, say them with me, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. And don't worry, we'll have the weather, too. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us just after the bottom of the hour with a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat pit. September contract for the soft red at $6.30 on their settlement price. We're down 7.5 cents. December futures down 7.75 at 656 and 1.5 on the top. And the settlement price at 649 for the day, down in the December 7.75. September corn futures 2.25 higher at 325.75. December at 342.25 up 2.25. And the March contract at 357.5 up 2.25. Next year's December up 2.75 at 393. Soybeans, August contract $8.34 up 11.25. September at 841.25 up 10.5 or rather 10.25. And November beans were up 9.75 at 857.5. And November of next year at 894.5 for 2008 were up 3.5 cents. Bean meal futures up $2.70 at 215.60. Bean oil in the August at 37.76 up 36. At the Mercantile Exchange, August live cattle finished the day 94.87.5. They were 60 cents a hundredweight higher. And the October futures at 97.5 cents higher as well, 99.95 the settlement price there. August live cattle at 117.35 were up 37.5 cents, and September's at 118 and a nickel were 25 cents higher. Lean hogs, August contract a dime higher at $73.32.5. From the crude oil futures, the nearby September contract at $78.20 a barrel, up $1.37 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,322, and it's down just about 36 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace as you saw the action today.
Well, of course, you know, we started off the morning with the reduced crop ratings. Added a little bit of enthusiasm in the overnight trade. I think we continued to see the ideas of not enough rain coming through the dry sections. You know, some of the forecasters are calling for a few scattered rains, but not the coverage amounts that it had to bushels in the central Midwest where the yield potential is the highest, north where the crops are under the most stress. So, you know, along and getting some confirmation of that at the noontime weather while we saw corn turn around from being a little bit easier to closing a couple higher. And, of course, the beans, August when beans are made, Todd, and it's awfully warm and dry in quite a few places, and, you know, especially the upper Delta region, the northwest Iowa, southern Minnesota, and we've got a lot of areas through Indiana, of course, that aren't up to par, and we'd sure be happy to see a rain shower, but, you know, that's sort of what went on today.
Well, if we don't get the rain shower, how much more upside potential might there be in the short run?
If August weather is warmer and drier than normal, they could, you know, we could back towards $9 here. And if we have normal weather, we could push back towards $8. It's just sort of the catch-22 situation here. You know, it is looking at, you know, what the yields are going to be and as far as going along and figuring what it is. So, you know, we've got resistance. The November beans cleared their first resistance. They got up as high as 862.5. They actually cleared their second resistance, and they didn't close up there, though. They closed to 57.5, and 62 is the level we needed to close above to clear all the resistance. So as far as the beans went that way. But weather stays dry like this, we probably got a better chance of the upward side than the downward side.
What are producers and elevator operators telling you about the basis for the soybeans?
Basis come in last night on the river for the beans and the rail market a little bit that way. So they did come back, did come in that way. So that was that's a little bit positive, showing a little bit of strength, you know. And that's a little bit worrisome because last week we heard of China canceling three cargoes of beans. And it made us a little bit nervous at that, but they seem to be coming back into the market, and the basis seems to be tightening up here.
All right, and then if you take a look at the corn market, what do you see for the day?
Well, the corn market, like I say, we struggled a lot. There's still an awful lot of corn. Very varied. We're saying 153 seemed to be the number as far as the yield that's been bannered around on the floor most of last week. There was comments this morning with the ratings down like they were, and the forecast we're looking at that we might see that drop down in a bushel or two, somewhere close to the 151, 151.5 as far as feelings on the floor. We're going to have some estimates tomorrow. You know, we're going to see FC Stone out with some numbers, and we're going to see Informa, and, of course, then the government on the 10th. So, you know, we're looking forward to those numbers. They're going to tell us really sort of where you think we're going to go from here, Todd. I mean, because a lot of difference with as many acres of corn as we've got if you change that national average, one or two bushels.
Harvest month reached up and tapped the 20-day moving average on both the composite and the pit trade charts. Will they try to push through that tonight?
You know, they easily could. You know, we saw very... you know, a stronger close on the corn than what we saw trade most of the day. So it closed with a strong attitude towards that. And the beans, like we said, they went up and touched it and basically closed just a little bit off. But I think the tendency is probably a little bit more to the positive side this evening than the lower.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says today the skies will be mostly sunny. They'll be high between 87 and 92 across the two-state region. Tonight, clear, lows ranging from 62 in eastern Indiana to 72. Along the Chicago lakefront, Wednesday will be sunny, highs between 90 and 95 degrees. Tomorrow, a slight increase in atmospheric moisture will come with a gentle shift to the southeasterly flow. Dew points will rise to the upper 50s and low 60s across the area. Heat indices in the south and northeastern Illinois will max out about 97. Minimum relative humidities will range between the upper 30s and the mid-40s. Wind speeds will be light in most areas. Showers and thunderstorms are forecast to approach northwestern and western Illinois late on Thursday, but most forecast models eliminate that precipitation around the Illinois River by Friday morning. Dave Dickey's here now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, a team of U.S. health officials are in Beijing for a five-day visit aimed at crafting food and drug safety agreements that would help dispel unease over Chinese exports. The delegation is expected to discuss improving the flow of information and devising regulations by December that both sides can be confident in when it comes to food, drug, and medical device safety. Chinese officials say the talks will also focus on a U.S. ban of PRC catfish, bass, shrimp, and eel. Over the weekend, consumers in Northern California were told not to eat ginger imported from China because it might contain a dangerous pesticide. The Bush administration is saying expect a free trade agreement with South Korea by early 2009, despite current strong opposition from Democrat leaders in the House. They are demanding changes in the automotive provisions of the agreement. The Democrats believe the agreement gives South Korean automakers too much new access to the U.S. market, while doing too little to tear down no-tariff barriers that have kept American cars out of South Korea. Meanwhile, Nick Giordano, Vice President for International Trade Policy at the National Pork Producers Council, says U.S. farm groups are prepared to make, in his words, an unprecedented push for a South Korea FTA because of the new export opportunities it provides. Archer Daniels Midland says fourth quarter profits more than doubled from a year ago, pushed up by more than $600 million in asset sales. Earnings from continuous operations, however, were hurt by declines in both its oil seed and corn processing businesses. Profits for the quarter totaled $954.8 million from $410.3 million a year earlier. ADM earned $616 million from the swap of its interest in a number of Chinese joint ventures for shares in Wilmar International Limited, a Singapore-based agricultural processor with operations across Asia. Corn processing operations fell 16% for the quarter due to higher corn costs and lower ethanol sales. Oilseed profits fell $48 million for the quarter. Charles Evans will take over as president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago on September 1st. Evans currently serves as the regional Fed Bank's research director. Evans will vote on U.S. interest rate policy at the final three Fed Open Market Committee meetings of 2007. Evans steps in as analysts are looking for the Fed to cut rates by year's end in response to a credit market crunch and a stagnant housing market. And Tyson Foods says poor market conditions, declining pork sales, and high hog prices have forced it to cut in excess of 24 hours of production out of the schedule at pork plants in Iowa, Indiana, and Nebraska. The company says that's equivalent of three shifts. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including most of the day's ag programming. You can go back and listen to it if you'd like, or listen to it for the first time if you missed it. You can also download it directly as an MP3 file or put it on your computer as a podcast. It's all there. You can sign up as a podcast. And for our weekend newsletter, just hit subscribe for that one. The address is willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
This is the Closing Mark Report, WILL Urbana. United States Department of Agriculture released the Crop Progress Report for July 30th yesterday afternoon. It shows that 85% of the soybean crop is blooming and 51% has set pods. On a comparative basis, that's 1 percentage point ahead of last year, but 10 percentage points ahead of the 5-year rolling average. The crop condition at 58% this week fell from last week's 61%, but still ahead of last year's 53%. In the corn, 90% of the crop is silked, 25% is in the dough stage. That's just ahead of schedule. 4% of the crop is dented, and that one really isn't reported from the previous years. Crop condition for the corn, 58% in good to excellent categories, compared to 62% last week and 56% last year.
Now, here are the statisticians from the top five corn-producing states in the nation, starting with Iowa.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending July 29, 2007. Scattered showers fell in Iowa on Monday and Thursday last week, providing moisture to keep crops growing. Areas not receiving rain show signs of stress due to a lack of moisture. Insecticide spraying has increased in soybeans due to the presence of aphids. Temperature for the week as a whole averaged 3 to 4 degrees warmer than normal in western Iowa and 1 to 2 degrees below normal across the eastern part of the state, with a statewide average of 1.3 degrees below normal. The statewide average precipitation for the week was 0.80 inches, while normal for the week is 1.07 inches. There were 5.4 days suitable for field work compared to 5.8 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 47% very short or short, 51% adequate, and 2% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 45% very short or short, 54% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn condition is rated 11% very poor, 29% fair, and 60% good or excellent. Overall, these ratings are down slightly from last week. Corn tassel at 98% is equal to last year and 4 days ahead of the five-year average of 95%. Corn silked at 90% is 2 percentage points behind last year, but 3 days ahead of normal. Corn in milk stage is at 43%, 1 percentage point ahead of last year and 2 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn in the dough stage is at 10%, equal to last year and 1 percentage point ahead of the five-year average. Iowa soybean condition is rated at 7% very poor, 27% fair, and 66% good or excellent. And again, like corn, the overall condition is down slightly for soybeans as well in Iowa. Soybeans blooming at 93% are equal to last year and ahead of the five-year average of 91%. 61% of soybeans are setting pods, 2 percentage points behind last year, but 6 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending July 29, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 29th. Below normal temperatures and precipitation had a counterbalancing effect over most of the state with regard to sustaining favorable crop conditions. However, in the two southernmost crop reporting districts, we are seeing a significant decline in topsoil moisture where 58% was rated as very short. And accompanied with the lighter soils, this area is in desperate need of a soaking rain. Statewide, topsoil moisture declined somewhat last week with an average rating of 11% very short, 24% short, 62% adequate, and 3% surplus. This was a decline of 10 percentage points in the combined adequate and surplus categories. The corn crop continued its growth towards maturity with 48% reported in the dough stage. This compares to 40% 1 year ago and 35% for the five-year average. 5% of the crop was reported in the dense stage compared to 4% 1 year ago and 5% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn maturity was the Southwest District with 24% in the dense stage. Overall, the state's corn crop condition declined a little but was still rated mostly good to excellent. Soybean blooming was reported at 95%, which compares to 86% 1 year ago and 84% for the five-year average. 62% of the plants were sitting pods, compared to 40% reported last year and 41% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean maturity was the Central District with 89% of the plants sitting pods. Overall, the state's soybean condition was once again rated mostly good to excellent. In other crops around the state, sorghum plants were heading on 80% of the fields. The third cutting of alfalfa advanced to 35% complete, slightly ahead of the 28% five-year average. And finally, oat harvest was 73% complete, 5 points ahead of the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 29, 2007. Corn conditions rated 75% good or excellent, well above last year's 54% rating. Irrigated fields rated 88% good or excellent, while dryland fields rated 56, both above year-ago levels. Soybean conditions rated 66% good or excellent, well above last year's 38% condition. Alfalfa conditions rated 52% good or excellent, well above last year's 21%. Wild hay conditions rated 67% good or excellent, well above last year's 16%. Oats harvested was 88%, behind last year's 90, but ahead of the 86 average. Sorghum conditions rated 82% good or excellent, well above last year's 41%. Pasture and range conditions rated 51% good or excellent, well above last year's 6%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending July 29, 2007. Crop conditions continued to decline amid the heat and dry weather, with only a few spotty showers recorded during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies continued downward, with only 21% of the state rated as adequate, mostly in the northwest corner of the state. Blooming of Minnesota soybean crop was slowed amid dry conditions, causing development to slip behind the five-year average pace. The average temperature for the week was 75.9 degrees, 5.6 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 46% very short, 32 short, 21 adequate, and 1 surplus. As of Sunday, 49% of corn acreage was in the milk stage compared to 17% for the five-year average. Soybeans were 88% blooming compared to 89% average. 91% of the spring wheat acreage was turning ripe, with 12% combined. Oats were 96% turning ripe, with 52% combined. As of Friday, 30% of field corn, 38% of soybeans, and 61% of spring wheat were rated in good to excellent condition. Sunflower conditions were rated 66% good or excellent, and only 13% of pasture was rated in good or excellent condition. This is Dan Loftus for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending July 29th. A significant rain system lingered over most of the state during the week and provided much-needed precipitation. However, soil moisture conditions remain dry in parts of the state, particularly in eastern Indiana. Field crops and pastures have responded to the recent rains with slight improvement. The winter wheat harvest is virtually complete, while livestock producers remain concerned with hay shortages. Topsoil moisture was rated at 16% very short, 36% short, 47% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 28% very short, 39% short, 33% adequate, and 0% surplus. Precipitation for the week ranged from 2.8 inches to 4 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 92 to a low of 46 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 5.3 days were rated as suitable for field work. 94% of the planted corn acreage has silk, compared with 85% for last year and 82% for the five-year average. 27% of the corn acreage is in the doughing stage, compared with 20% for last year and 19% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop improved and was rated as 50% good to excellent, compared with 67% last year at this time. 84% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 72% for last year and 73% for the five-year average. 39% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared to 27% for last year and 32% for the five-year average. The soybean condition improved slightly and was rated as 46% good to excellent, compared to 66% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast. The regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. An agreement between the University of Illinois Police Training Institute and a military contractor says the two will exchange instructors and look for other ways to work together for 5 years. But the university is now investigating ties between the institute's director, Tom Dempsey, and the contractor, Blackwater USA. The university says Dempsey requested a leave of absence to work for Blackwater 2 months after he signed the agreement. Provost Linda Katehi told the Chicago Tribune the U of I is trying to find out if Dempsey was working for Blackwater when he signed that cooperative agreement. A Blackwater spokeswoman declined comment this morning. Dempsey couldn't be reached for comment. His university email responds with a message saying he's on vacation. Governor Rob Blagojevich wants state workers to keep government going Wednesday, even without a budget to pay them.
Blagojevich sent a letter to state employees yesterday asking them to report to work as usual and promising they'll get paid for doing so. The one-month budget plan that lawmakers passed for July ends on Wednesday, and legislative leaders say they're not interested in passing another one. They're working on a full-year budget instead. Blagojevich's office says contingency plans are being worked on in case the impasse continues. Minority Republicans in the Indiana House have presented their own property tax relief plan for homeowners. They're proposing adding $200 million in additional relief for homeowners in a plan that would reduce the average increase in property tax bills to zero. A tentative contract agreement is in place for support staff in the Champaign School District. It's a big change from the last contract talks of 2004 that ended in February of the next year after threats of a strike. The head of the union representing more than 500 support staff, Tom Grimsey, says negotiations were much more productive thanks to more active school board members. He says workers will vote on the contract a week from Saturday. He wouldn't say what the tentative agreement includes. Illinois' Department of Natural Resources has gotten $765,000 to help preserve nearly 1,700 acres of endangered habitats. The money from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will be used to rehab endangered habitats along the Mississippi River and in the Sangamon River Basin. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest. A little hotter now than it has been for a week or so.
Yeah, and it looks like, as we like to call it, the dog days of summer are going to be moving on in. Usually the dog days of summer traditionally happen in August, and here we go, leaving July and heading into August, and we do have a spell of some hot weather coming to the Midwest and Corn Belt. Temperatures will be working their way through the upper 80s to lower 90s and staying there through the rest of this week, into the weekend, and into early next week. And unfortunately, with the hot weather, is not going to be very much in the way of any really good chances for thunderstorm activity until next week sometime.
We heard from our crop progress folks that there was some suffering still happening in Minnesota, and that even in southern Illinois, they needed a good drink of water, but it doesn't look like it's in the cards anytime soon?
At least not next for the next 5 to 6 days. Now, maybe there's some moisture in the cards mid to late next week, but that's how long of a wait it's going to be before we have really good chances for a widespread coverage of rain, especially in those areas.
What do you see around the globe?
Well, around the globe, we're looking at Europe, first of all. Let's go over there. And they're looking at still a fairly moist weather pattern for many areas in northern and western Europe, dry in some of the wheat areas, some of the areas of the Ukraine could use a little bit of moisture. Temperatures there are averaging near to a little bit above normal. If we go over into the China area, well, they're looking at a weather pattern that is still going to be rather moist. There are going to be some dry areas in the northern growing areas of China, but the rest of China looking at near to above normal precipitation for the next week to 10 days.
And if you check in on winter conditions in South America and how their prep time and moisture levels look as they head towards the planting season?
Well, Brazil could use some moisture. They're not going to see much the next week or 10 days. Argentina is going to fare the best.
And finally, as you look up, across the Corn Belt in the Midwest, tell me where the real hot spots at this point might be.
I would certainly say that some areas you already brought up, such as the Minnesota area, some areas of southwest Wisconsin, but also Indiana, sections of Ohio, and then, as you highlighted, some areas of southern Illinois will be the areas we need to watch.
And in between, things look awfully good?
In between, they do. I mean, it's a checkerboard. We do have some areas that have done fairly well, but we also have areas not 50 miles from areas that are very dry that have actually had good moisture. So it's going to, and that's not unusual to see sometimes in the summer season like this, but with this hot weather coming up, I do think we're going to see the areas that are suffering a little bit start to show their wear a little bit more.
Don, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us every Tuesday afternoon right here on AM 580. That is today's Closing Market Report. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.